Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Wisconsin's stop on the PGA Tour Champions wrapped up its 2022 run last week with another thrilling championship at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. So mark your calendars for 2023 and June 9th through the 11th when the tournament returns to the calendar with another full week of activities. Information on the tournament can be found, as always, at amfamchampionship.com. Since 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised more than $12.6 million for local charities distributed through the Steve Stricker American Family Foundation. With Gary D'Amato, this is Rob Hernandez. Happy Father's Day weekend, wherever you may be listening to us. Talking.Golf here, middle of June, busy week, U.S. Open weekend, and Gary D'Amato, the championship just wrapped up as we record this podcast. And Matthew Fitzpatrick, I like to call him the Scotty Scheffler of England, wins by a shot over the aforementioned Scotty Scheffler and Will Zalatoris. It's Brat Pack weekend, I think, at the U.S. Open at the Country Club in Brookline. Some of the game's great young players. We saw them all at, except Zalatoris, at Whistling Straits last year. But a 1-2 finish for Fitzpatrick and Scheffler. And again, some of the guys who were in the shadows as recently as last fall have come out of them in a big way here in 2022.
Yeah, Rob, that was riveting. I really enjoyed watching this U.S. Open. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 2013, he came with Northwestern. He was a freshman at Northwestern playing for Pat Goss and came up and played in the Marquette Intercollegiate at Erin Hills. And I remember, I believe he might have won. He definitely had a top three finish because I interviewed him. And I remember thinking that he looked like he was 13 years old back then, and he still looks younger than his years, but he played great, Rob, 17 of 18 greens in regulation. And that bunker shot on 18 up from that fairway bunker will go down as one of the great shots in, you know, in U.S. Open history, really a clutch bunker shot to set up the winning par.
What were you thinking when he was standing there in that bunker? He kind of had to get over the bit of elephant grass that was in the middle of the bunker. That was no problem. But even he said afterwards that that had been kind of his Achilles heel all season, was playing out of fairway bunkers.
Yeah, I remember Paul Azinger, Zinger said, was talking about it in terms of it being a huge mistake and a big error, and he should have hit driver or he could have blown it right into the hospitality area and gotten a free drop. And the way Zinger was setting it up, I thought, man, this guy's got no chance. And then he goes on to hit that shot and kind of reminded me of Stricker's six iron, completely different set of circumstances, but that six iron on the 72nd hole to win the John Deere Classic that one year. Just a great golf shot. I mean, what can you say? Tiger's had hit a couple of great bunker shots like that in his career, but to do it under that kind of pressure just says a lot about the guy.
And to kind of back up to what you just mentioned about the Marquette Intercollegiate over at Erin Hills, he was T8 going into the final round after 71-72. Shot 76 and finished T23 that year, at least in the 2013-14 season.
Oh,
good chance that he may have come back with Northwestern, obviously with Steve Bailey's ties to that program. There's a good chance he was there multiple years. So, but as far as, you know, I mean, again, it's neat to see a guy who, you know, has kind of come through our neck of the woods. He's a global name. He's played on the European Tour and he still has braces. As you mentioned, he looks like he's, you know, fresh out of high school. And what a great family story too. And to see, you know, his brother there who caddied for him when he won at Brookline, he's like the second male golfer to win the US Am and the US Open on the same course. And along with Jack Nicklaus at Pebble Beach, and then Julie Inkster apparently did it on the women's side. But, you know, they, boy, and the dad with the Boston Red Sox hat, they really got into this Boston US Open.
Yeah. He's got a great history there. As you mentioned, staying with the family in 2000, was it 13 that he won the USAM? Yeah, I think 13. So. Yeah, and then staying with that same family again this year. So they've got a connection to Boston. They've got a connection to, you know, the people of Boston. And I really enjoyed that when Matthew, during his interview with Mike Tirico, said that that he got a note from Jack Nicklaus when he won the member at the Bears Club, and Jack teased him earlier this year saying he finally won something in the States. Well, now he's got a second trophy. This one's a little bigger, Rob.
A lot bigger. And boy, it was especially for a kid, Matt Fitzpatrick's size. As we look at the rest of the leaderboard, Scotty Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, as I said, finished T2. Whose finish at T2 was bigger? Zalatoris's because he came close again, or Scheffler because, again, he backs up, you know, the Masters win, the three other wins besides that this year. I kind of think it's Will Zalatoris. He's knocking on the door. I have to think that he's going to, you know, knock it down before too long. I don't know if we can see an American go over to St. Andrews and win the Open Championship, but if we do, he'd be at the top of my list.
Boy, you know, losing in a playoff to the Masters and then coming within a quarter inch probably of dropping that putt on the 72nd hole and making Fitzpatrick play off for the U.S. Open title, that's big stuff. And you're right, he's such a great ball striker, and he's a better putter, I think, than people give him credit for. So I think you're right, Rob. I mean, this guy has major championship written all over him. And if he goes another 2 or 3 years and doesn't win one, I'd be very surprised.
Just looking over the scores, Gary, nobody broke 70 4 days in a row. Fitzpatrick shot 70 in the second round. Scheffler, 70 in the first round, 71 in the third. Will Zalatoris, a 70 in the second round. But a couple guys who came close, who had really, you know, bad, you know, single days that kept them from winning this title. The one that really, I think, will look back on this opportunity and wonder what, you know, how he wasn't able to at least be a factor the final day is Colin Morikawa. Shoots 66 today to rally back into tie for fifth place. But that 77 with, you know, playing with the lead on Saturday really is the one that kind of makes me shake my head.
Yeah, me too, Rob. Such a great ball striker. And, you know, he's closed two majors now in the recent past. So you'd think that, you know, he'd be able to avoid that kind of round on in the third round of a major. But, you know, another one was Rory McIlroy. Rob had another great chance to win a major, and I think he shot 73 in the third round. Yep. And he had that kind of disastrous double bogey, which could have been a triple. I mean, he made a great putt for double bogey and after going bunker to bunker and failing to get out of a bunker. But yeah, those two guys were one round away, as is the case so often, from winning another major championship.
I guess it speaks well to the country club at Brookline. Xander Schauffele, 75 in the third round. You know, he finished T14 at +2, not really, you know, exactly knocking on the door when 6 under wins. But, you know, you go low that day and maybe you're looking at him. And then the one today that really, I think, got away was Jon Rahm. You know, not exactly, you know, a great weekend, 71-74 after opening 69-67. But, you know, we're almost to the point where we expect Jon Rahm to win every major, but he finds a way to just not be there in the end. And I don't know, you know, he's a guy that can get fiery. We've talked about in the past about his, you know, sometimes his temper is maybe his own worst enemy, but, you know, he sure seems to have tamed that down a lot compared to earlier in his career. And I just, you know, again, I look forward to him at the Open Championship. You know, there's a lot of guys, you know, with the Open Championship now being the last major, Gary, there's a lot of guys who need that championship as a way to kind of validate what they've done in 2022. And he's another one on that list.
Yeah, it's a long list. Another guy who's on that list, but doesn't need to validate anything is Tiger Woods. I can't wait. I think he's going to try to play the British Open, Rob. He's won there twice at St. Andrews. And, if he can walk that course, it's a pretty flat course. So it's going to be very interesting to see Tiger's return to golf and going head to head with all these guys who are popping up in majors and playing so well.
The other storyline that was really prevalent at the country club in Brookline all week was the guys coming back from the LIV Tour who were able to play in this event. And I was curious your thoughts on Phil Mickelson and, you know, what a disastrous U.S. Open for him. But, you know, both in terms of PR and that news conference, you know, pre-tournament news conference, was probably one of the more humbling things he's ever had to do. It was hard to watch. And then even more difficult to watch was, you know, the way he came out and performed here in this U.S. Open. I mean, you're talking about a guy who wasn't even close, and he's now got to, you know, he's the face of this tour that needs somebody to do more than just shoot 78, 73 and miss the cut by a ton.
You're right, Rob. Yeah, horrible putting exhibition by Phil. I watched a lot of it the first 2 days, and he just couldn't make anything. I mean, he just looked completely lost on the greens. And we've seen Phil go through little putting stunts through the years. He always has come out of them, obviously, but it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch his press conference. And you're right. Phil has not been humbled by too much throughout his career, but he certainly has been humbled, you know, this last week, both on and off the course.
And that said, I think he handled the press conference as well as he could. He didn't go after anybody. Mm-hmm. He rolled his eyes a few times. He said, is there a question there to Christine Brennan when she was hammering on the whole,
yeah,
the whole Saudi background deal. And, but you know, you look at him with his, I don't know, 5 o'clock shadow and then some, and just his new look, he still looks like he's lost. And I don't know if he'll ever find himself again.
Yeah. In Phil's defense on the Christine Brennan question, she did give a little soliloquy for about 4 or 5 minutes and still hadn't gotten to the question, or it seemed at least that long. So I don't blame him for saying, is there a question in there? He's just standing up there listening to this, you know, long speech that preempted a question. And I don't blame him for he didn't really snap, but he got a little sarcastic, and you know, that was fine. I mean, he had a tough week, Rob. He's had a tough month.
Yeah. And in Christine's defense, at least a soliloquy drove home the point that these guys that Phil's gotten in the bed with are some of the most evil, awful human beings on the face of the planet. But I think we kind of all knew that coming into there. So we really didn't need to go back over that. So anyway, it really is.
Right.
It's the new world of golf, Gary. And I think that's, we're going to live with that for a while. No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah. We heard a rumor, you know, just a rumor that Hunter Eichhorn, Marquette's great player, just finished graduate studies, 3-time Big East player of the year. I heard a rumor that he had signed with Liv. And of course I called him or texted him right away. And he said, absolutely no truth to it. So I think this kind of stuff is going to be coming out of the woodwork for a long time, Rob.
Well, Gary, that's why it was kind of refreshing to come back here. Especially this last week, it was very much grassroots golf for me. 3 days up at the Woodlands course at Lasonia for the state women's open. And then Friday at Blackhawk Country Club for U.S. junior qualifying. We'll start first with the state women's open. A great duel, especially on the final day, all day, between Emily Lauterbach and Bobby Stricker. And Emily Lauterbach wins in a one-hole playoff, but Bobby Stricker continues to make strides in her game. I feel that Emily Lauterbach, out of all the golfers that have come through, and this includes Casey Danielson, has the opportunity to go the furthest going forward after her final year of eligibility at the University of Wisconsin. And I believe she has two if she wants to take COVID. I may be wrong on that, but she's so powerful off the tee, and she was hitting bombs out there, and is getting better and better around the greens and starting to make some birdies in the volume you need to succeed on the LPGA tour and obviously on the Epson tour. But, you've seen Emily play in the past. And I mean, I think this is a kid who's got a really, really high ceiling.
Yeah. Going all the way back to drive, chip and putt when she was just a kid. She's been a name to remember for a long time. And going forward, I think she will be. So you almost had a deja vu, Rob, because Bobby and Emily weren't they involved in the playoff last year in the state am?
You're correct.
I believe they were.
And that was the one you were at, wasn't it?
I covered that one. Yeah, and Bobby prevailed on that one. So Emily got her back this time.
And that, you know, again, shows where we're at. I mean, these two are significantly ahead of the field going into the final round. In fact, Carly Weary-Swartz, who's, due in October. So you do the math. I mean, she's well into her pregnancy. And she was spent most of the day in third place and never really lost it. Nobody really made a charge at her. And I think, she held on for at least a share of that. But the two at the top. And I thought, in fact, I saw Maggie Leaf was starting on the first tee at the U.S. Junior qualifying at Blackhawk on Friday, and she had come out to watch some of the showdown towards the end of regulation. And I believe Bobby Stricker parred every hole in the back nine of the Woodlands course the final day. And she said, having just come off the course and seen the challenge, the wind was starting to pick up. That was every bit as impressive as the fact that she got herself into a playoff. And I think it shows that Bobby Stricker is pretty close to a significant breakthrough. And I hope this gives her the confidence now going up to the Epson Tour event. She's in on a sponsor's exemption at, I believe it's at Sweetgrass. And you know, this might be the opportunity or the time to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, that's coming up, I believe, this next week, right? The, yes. The Island Resort Championship up at Sweetgrass. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You know, having seen those two and having followed them, Rob, was Emily out driving Bobby? Because Bobby's gotten a little longer the last couple of years. Does Emily hit it farther than Bobby?
She does. And what Emily had to do was hit fewer drivers. And in fact, I think, you know, it got to a point on the Woodlands course where she, you know, there were some, especially when her driver wasn't cooperating in the second round and then, you know, early in the third round, he was hitting more three woods off the tee. But yeah, she was out there and you know, it's she's getting the length, and then, you know, both golfers, you know, were really fantastic around the green and, you know, didn't put a lot of stress on their game because they were hitting a lot of greens in regulation, but they certainly, you know, and Bobby, you know, I mean, with her dad, you know, being the short game guru that he is. And I've got a funny story about that. You know, he, you know, I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there, and she had no problem. And we'll talk about it too. Izzy Stricker yesterday on Friday at the U.S. Junior, you know, was making clutch putts, you know, to say par and stay in the mix for to advance. She wound up being second alternate, missing a playoff for the last spot by a shot. But it's really fun to see all those, you know, the Strickers and, you know, with this tournament at Sweetgrass, she'll be up there. Steve will be out at the U.S. Senior Open in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, with Mario on the bag, Nicky said. And so, you know, the entire crew. And then I think Izzy's in the field for the WPGA Junior. And so there's this is that time of year where there's a lot of golf on the Stricker calendar. And the best part about our little, you know, 3 days up at Green Lake, Steve was up there with Nikki the final day. They weren't up there the first couple of days, but they came to walk. And Steve was talking to Joe Stadler about the TPC Wisconsin. And I've never seen a guy, first of all, I've never seen Steve so darn excited about something. I mean, you know, he doesn't, he's a man of few words, you know, on a general basis, but he had a lot to say about how cool the TPC Wisconsin is going to be. And he did mention to throw in there that, you know, it's being designed in his kind of spirit, because there's going to be a lot of collection areas off the greens that'll be, you know, pitched to take golf balls in that direction, mainly because, you know, he's pretty good at getting up and down from collection areas off greens, whether it's with the wedge or whether with the putter, even when the wedge doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And I found that to be quite funny.
You know, Rob, I ran into Brandel Chambly at a PGA merchandise show a couple of years ago. Brandel was working on a book at the time. I don't know if it's come out or if he's still working on it, but he was doing all kind of research on short game and chipping. And he told me he thinks Stricker is the best chipper who's ever lived. And I don't know what he said. He's done all the research, and that the research tells him that Stricker is number one for chipping of anyone who's ever played, which I mean, we all know how good Steve is, but to say he's the best chipper who ever lived, I thought that was a pretty big statement. So yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Did you get an invitation to play TPC Wisconsin when it opens, Rob? You better bring me along.
I don't want to put words in Steve's mouth, but I think we have a standing invitation. We've written enough words on the Strickers in the last 10 days. and I think there's more to come because, like I said, the other thing I covered was the U.S. Junior, and Izzy Stricker was really bad. It was a great, the girl's side was a great duel. I didn't get out on the course to watch much of it. I got to watch the playoff for the final spot, which had some incredible shot making between a young lady from Illinois and Jenna Anderson out of Dousman, who, by the way, hit a 300-yard drive on the third playoff hole and was so close to the green. I think she surprised herself because she wasn't quite sure how to execute the chip shot over the bunker and wasn't able to flop it, and it kind of ran to the back. She made par. The other girl lipped out had a putt that hit the right lip, bounced around the back, and fell in the left side. I've never seen a putt circle the cup quite that way, and then she won it on the next hole for the third spot. But, yeah, I mean, so, you know, Izzy and Dennis Tiziani, her grandpa, was out there watching from the vantage points up by the clubhouse, and She was on hole, I believe it was 12, maybe 13, the first back-to-back par fives. And she was behind the green, chipped on, and made like a 6-foot putt down the slope. And you know, the greens at Blackhawk, Gary, they're no picnic. And for a par, and you could tell that she was focused. And you know, I could tell that she was really kind of had mixed feelings about being second runner up. I mean, you know, I think Aiden Cudney, who was a second runner up for the boys side, tweeted out today, you know, it's one of those things where, well, so you're saying there's a chance, but you know, how many second runners up actually get into a USGA event? Cause it's, you know, nobody's going to call in sick for those. And, but at, by the same token, and Bobby Stricker caddied for her for the last, what would it be? 11 holes. No parents can caddy in USGA events. I thought that was an interesting rule.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was weird. The grandpa caddied for the playoff winner in the girls' side, but otherwise it was high school and college teammates of these gals who were playing, or I guess I think there was one or two swing instructors. So kind of weird. But Bobby came out to caddy for Izzy starting on hole 7, and they were dialed in. And but you know, again, much like, you know, Bobby has made major leaps and strides after not playing in high school. You have to remember, Izzy's going to be a high school junior this year, and she was one shot out of a playoff to get into the U.S. junior girls. And and I think we'll see what that kind of finish does this week. I would anticipate she'll be in that WPGA junior, because that's also a qualifier for the national PGA junior. But a lot of golf for the Strickers, and more golf to come.
It's crazy, Rob, how much we've written about Mario, Steve, Nikki, Bobby, Izzy, Dennis, Larry.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
golf's first family in, of Wisconsin, no doubt about it.
Well, and then lastly for this week, you and I got to play. So I brought golf clubs back with the idea that I want to try to kick off a new series about courses that I haven't played. And between the two of us, we've covered golf for probably more than 60 years, and you'd think we would have played almost every course in the state of Wisconsin. But until you start trying to play ones you haven't played, you realize there's a lot of them out there. And we did Kettle Moraine Golf Club in Dousman on Monday. And then yesterday I did the doubleheader down at Edgewood Golf Course in Big Bend and Muskego Lakes Country Club. All really great courses in the Milwaukee area. Again, it speaks to the level of quality golf we have in the state. Some very imaginative course designs, and the ones that I played this week, and you know, the down at Dousman, you know, we had, that was a course that a lot of people go to because the course is always in such great shape, and much like Brown County, early in my career, those were the kind of the two courses that at least golfers in the Madison area would, you know, drive out of the way to go to. I can see, I thought the greens were great at Kettle Moraine, couple holes that were quirky, a lot of holes that were quirky at Edgewood and Big Bend. Our friend Eric Gitter, who used to be in the golf business and then used to be on radio, and he would always give John Freeman a hard time on Facebook about the speed of the greens at Edgewood, and now I see why that's such an inside joke. Those greens are there, some of them are the green on hole number 10 or on hole number 9 needs to be blown up, because you can't hold that green. It's a front hole location, and it was like Curtis Strange at the GMO on 6 back in I don't know what that was, 96 or 90 or in the early 90s when he wanted the pin moved, and that bad. But you know, really imaginative. 36 holes, I played 18 of them, the Oaks course, and the new part of the course over across the road, man, especially with that one par 3 with the island green effect, that was really good. You've played there though, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned all the great golf in Wisconsin, Rob. I just looked up in my book. I've played 183 golf courses in Wisconsin. And you think, well, that's a lot of golf. But there's about 250 that I haven't played. So I don't think I'm going to get them all in before I go to that big fairway in the sky, Rob. But I'm going to try.
Well, I happen to play, and I didn't mention this before we came on the air, but I played with the daughter of John Krieger. And you know John Krieger, who was it the Platinum Passport? What was the marketing thing that he did where, you know, that everybody gravitated to because it was free golf?
Yeah, he did have a book. He was one of the first guys to do that. And now you can buy 3 or 4 different kinds in the state, but and he's played every course in the state, I believe, right?
He has. And his daughter said that, Tiffany said that, that He kind of bragged about that at one point. And then that private club that is transitioning from one name to the next down by Lake Geneva actually reached out to him and said, "You haven't played our course because nobody can, but here's an invitation, come play it." And he went and played it. And so he was able to say then that he's played every course, even one that he didn't even know probably existed. So that was kind of cool.
That is cool. Yeah, that course used to be Lakewood, and that was called Goldeneye in Lake Geneva, or near Lake Geneva. And our good friend Chuck Garbedian scored a tee time somehow about a week and a half ago, invited me to play with him. And I had to do something that day and couldn't play. So I did play it when it was Lakewood. And it's I think we were the only players on the course that day. There was nobody else on the course. And it was in pristine condition. So I wish I could have played it as Goldeneye a week or so ago with Chuck. But alas, no luck there.
So I got to Edgewood Golf Course in Big Bend at about 11:30 and grabbed a bite to eat and a wonderful pulled pork sandwich in the clubhouse. And I was mesmerized, Gary D'Amato, by the number of people in the clubhouse at 11:30 a.m. having completed a round of golf and imbibing in Spotted Cow, shots of Fireball. It was classic people enjoying summertime in Wisconsin. It's the second Saturday golf outing that I've had. I did Black Bear Golf Course up in Minog with my daughter when I first got here, and it was kind of the same deal. And I think that's we don't talk about it enough. The great spirit of a clubhouse in the state of Wisconsin when people finish the round of golf.
Yeah, that's a good point. Everywhere you go, municipal courses, semi-private, private clubs. To finish a round and go in the clubhouse and sit around and rehash your round with good friends and have a beer or two. Nothing better than that, Rob.
Well, this is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf sponsored by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Circle your calendar dates for June 9th through the 11th. Those will be the 3 days of the tournament. There'll be pro-ams before that and a lot of other activities. We anticipate all things, working out, that there'll be the Friday night concert and the Saturday celebrity foursome featuring Andy North. You can go to amfamchampionship.com throughout the year to check on the latest news from Wisconsin stop on the PGA Tour champions. Gary, we have a busy week coming up again. It starts with the WSGA match play up at the Lynx course at Lasonia, and then ends with the Ray Fisher in between the WPGA Junior. So whether you're a young golfer or an older amateur that both types play in the Ray Fisher, you're looking at the potential for at least 5, maybe 6-7 days of golf this week.
Yeah, Rob, you had a very busy week last week, and this week we're both going to be busy between the match play, the Ray Fisher at the end of the week. You're going to cover the WPGA Junior, and then we've got a meeting on Thursday night to select members of the Wisconsin Golf Hall of Fame. And I'm so glad that you're on that committee now, Rob. You're going to add a lot to that meeting on Thursday night.
So let's start first. It was neat. The WSGA popped up the brackets, the groupings. We won't go through all of them. But we will highlight a couple. And of course, you can't, you almost have to start any tournament that Tony Romo comes back to play in with the WSGA. He's been so good to golf in Wisconsin, a great sport, and to lend his name to the tournament. He actually came back qualified last week down at Gretzka Park. And it was a really good qualifier, too. A lot of top junior golfers and college golfers in that field. But Tony Romo qualified. He's in the field. He'll take on Evan Moss tomorrow morning in the first round of pool play in a bracket that also includes Sam Cianciola of Nakusa. He's a caddy at Sand Valley. And our good friend Garth Glister up in Minocqua, avid listener of the podcast and active with us on social media. So the format, Gary, that you got to win your pool, it means you either got to go 3-0 or 2-1, and potentially you have to win a playoff to get your spot in the what they call the knockout round. Second or third year of this format, I'm a big fan of it. And let's start first with Tony Romo's presence. How far do you expect Tony Romo to go?
You know, Tony could go a long way, Rob. He's a competitive dude. He hits the ball a long way. He's got a great game. And obviously, he's not out of his element, having played in Korn Ferry Tour events and U.S. Open qualifying. And he's going to be tough. He's got a great game. But, looking at the pairings and all the guys in his pool and other guys, it's a really strong field.
Yeah, I go to group eight of the pool play. We've got Ed Zurbich Jr. out of Brookfield and Dawson Hintz, a former Edgewood college golfer out of Baraboo, in the bottom half of a bracket, or not a bracket, but a pool that includes Jack Anderson of Brookfield and Jacob Beckman of Middleton. Jack Anderson and let me see here. I'm drawing a blank. Adam Garski, he's in the next group. Jack Anderson, Adam Garski played in the best ball. I have a feeling they're going to become kind of a modern day John Haynes and Tom Halla. And anytime they enter a WSGA event, you've got to keep an eye on those two guys. But Jack Anderson against Jacob Beckman in the first round tomorrow morning. Jacob Beckman, Gary, won the U.S. Junior qualifying yesterday by two shots over Mason Schmidtke out of Sheboygan. It was funny talking to Mike Wilson, the Badger coach at the U.S. Junior. Jacob Beckman, he was encouraging Jacob to sign up for the Choo Choo Invitational. It's an amateur championship down in Chattanooga in July. And Jacob looked at him and said, why would I want to do that? I'm going to be playing in the U.S. Junior. And Mike Wilson looks back at him and goes, kid, you got to qualify for that. You can at least enter this other tournament. He goes, no, I'll be fine. I'm going to do okay at the qualifying. It's on my home course. And sure enough, Jacob Beckman goes out and shoots 67 and qualifies easily. So Jacob and Jack, that'll be an interesting pairing, but we got a lot of guys of confidence in this field, don't we?
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. Cameron Huss, I see, is in the field. And plays his first round match against Sean Borey of La Crosse. I'm not sure if I pronounced that name correct.
You're correct.
Al Dieng, yeah, is in the field. And then all the way up to, you know, seniors, Kevin Cahill and Bob Gregorski, who's won everything in the state about five times. It's a great field, Rob.
Sean Borey, I believe, I know he is. He's a native of my hometown of Wisconsin Rapids. And a hockey player, I believe, and played collegiate hockey at the club level, and then has kind of gotten hooked on the game in the Cooley region. So he will not be an easy out, I don't think. Although you know, Cameron Hussey would think, with the amount of golf that he's played, would be a heavy favorite in that. And Al Dieng helped Madison Edgewood win another state title up at the state high school championships just a couple weeks ago. So that'll be a good one. Max Schmidtke in the field. I don't think Mason is, because he's probably going to focus on WPGA Junior later in the week. But I know Max has been working hard. Kind of funny story there too, Gary. The U.S. Junior boys, we played out at Bandon Dunes in Oregon. And Mason, very proud of the fact that he gets to play Bandon Dunes, because he knew that Max Schmidtke and the South Dakota Coyotes, that the University of South Dakota, are going to play out in Bandon at a tournament next spring. So he gets to do the Bandon trip early, and amazingly, he said that Max Schmidtke playing in a some sort of like charity fundraiser at Eastlake Country Club, in a golf club down in Atlanta, Georgia, the week that now that Mason will be out at Bandon Dunes. The Schmidtkes have all of a sudden become, you know, they're all over the world playing now at great golf courses, but to do the Eastlake and Bandon Dunes in one week is one that I'm sure will go on the Schmidtke Christmas card.
Yeah, that doesn't get much better than that. I'm looking at one more pairing, Rob, to talk about. It's what a matchup. Jim Doing, our good friend, who plays a lot of senior golf and is a very accomplished senior player, against Jacob Schrockenthaler, who hits his driver about 350. That's going to be an interesting match. The old guy who can, you know, who might hit a 240 or 250 against the guy who's going to be 100 yards past him on a lot of holes. Jim's got his work cut out, but yeah. You know what?
What's that?
Wouldn't surprise me if he won.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure if Jacob has another year at Edgewood College or not, but he's done quite well for Gary Oftedal's team, and this, you know, really kind of gotten hooked. He started out. He's also played basketball at Edgewood College and been prolific at both sports. And what is he? 6'7", 6'8", and you know, I tell you, it's. That's an interesting, because that's in the same grouping as Max Schmidtke. So we'll keep an eye on that one tomorrow. Yeah. And then opposite them in group six, Bennett Swavely is going to take on Patrick Alder of Winnetka, Illinois. And on the top half, Ricky Kuyper against Robert Hughes. And I know you said, I think you covered Ricky up at the U.S. Open local qualifying, where he was in the hunt until late. And Ricky said he's going to keep going at this stuff until he can't. And those are a couple guys to watch there.
Yeah, Ricky's another guy we can put in that Adam Garst Ricky, Jack Schultz vein, I think. I think Ricky's going to be around for a long time playing, eventually playing a lot of mid-amateur stuff. I'm not sure how old Ricky is. I think he's maybe late 20s, Rob. Not sure. Yeah, but a really fine player from Racine area.
And then as we look at ahead of the Ray Fisher, a lot of the guys that we're talking about here will be factors there. They've got the tee times out for that. One of the longest days of golf ever. They start at 7 a.m. Last tee time is at 2 p.m. And so sun up to sundown, and just a lot of guys. I mean, we could go on and on about, Garrett Jones in the field, and a lot of guys that, are probably you've got your Ray Fisher regulars, and then you've got guys that could use this as a stepping stone.
Yeah. And the Ray Fisher has sort of become a de facto mid-amateur championship in our state. You know, the last, I don't know, several winners, I think, have been mid-ams, including Dustin Schwab last year. We ran that great picture of Dustin, I think, Bilo, and I forget who's the third, maybe Garrett Jones.
Yeah.
Hoisting beer after Dustin won it. Those high school kids can't hoist beers, Rob. So so it was fun to see Dustin win that last year. And those the mid-ams and the older guys, Tom Halla, you know, he's been in contention there a number of times, hasn't won it, but I think he probably has 10 top 10 finishes. So that's going to be a good tournament to watch.
Great tournament. And then, of course, in between, you talk about the high schoolers. They've got the WPGA Junior Championship, which is really one of the oldest and proudest junior tournaments on the schedule every summer. Also, the most attended or most it's got the biggest field, and half the field will play Brown Deer on Wednesday, and the other half on Thursday, flipping with the kids who are over at Gretzka Park, and the tee times are out for that as well. And the girls always play Brown Deer in the afternoon on Monday. Or I'm sorry, on the first round on Wednesday, and that'll be the case again. And you have the a group that includes Cassie Pasuik, Madison Haugen, Jenna Anderson, and Riley Paczynski. Right there at 12:20. That all four young ladies could be in the mix there. But all the way up and down, Ava Soleil is playing with Avery Dudra, Jessica Geiser, and Nora Roberts. Jessica won the girls portion of the U.S. Junior Girls here at Blackhawk over 2023 Badger commit Kate Brody out of Michigan. Her dad's the head pro at Warwick Hills. And that's one. Jessica Geiser playing really well. Obviously, she's someone, Gary, who's gone to IMG and continue to make herself better. I asked her about college. Really didn't have much to say. This is kind of the point now where she can start talking to coaches. Coaches can start talking to her and her parents. And she did say, though, she's not as concerned about North, South, East, and West as some people are about going to warm weather. She wants to go to the best academic institution she can. So to me, I didn't see Todd Erlein really, talking much to the family. So I'm not sure if that would put Wisconsin in the running, but, academically, it certainly would. But it really opens the doors to a lot of great, schools around the country. That'll be one of the more interesting recruiting processes that we'll be following to see where she winds up. She's as good as anybody's been here in the last decade. And, winning the state high school championship as a freshman and then going off to IMG to really work on her game every single day of the year. It's something that more kids are doing, but it's also something that kids who do that are usually do so with a purpose.
Yeah, I like to hear that she's focusing on the academic part of it too, Rob. A really bright young girl. I remember covering her too and drive chip and putt when she was about 3 feet tall. She's going to be very highly recruited, I would think, Rob, right? I think she's probably going to have her pick from among a number of schools.
No doubt about it. And that'll be a fun one to watch. And then on the boys' side of the WPGA Junior, I mean, you name it. Aiden Cudney had a lot of interest at the U.S. Junior. Mike Wilson was looking at a lot of guys. Didn't really say who, but you could kind of fill in the blanks because he followed, Cudney's group for a while, especially because he played a little bit later, Mason Schmidtke. There's a number of kids who can use that opportunity to qualify for the U.S. or for the National PGA Junior as a stepping stone in the recruiting process. And, both the current sophomore class and the current junior class on the boys' side have a number of big names with great futures. And I talked to Mason Schmidtke, and he said that it's still Minnesota, Wisconsin, Marquette, South Dakota, and St. Thomas as the five primary schools that have offered. Is that five? I'm bad at math, but
sounds like five.
So that it, and you know, he's someone that's got a lot of game and the ability to go low. I think what the coaches are looking for, Gary, with, you know, especially on the men's side, the ability to go low consistently. And that's kind of, you know, an opportunity at Brown, Deer, and Dretzka. The boys, the older boys play Dretzka on day one. So you don't, it's almost the reverse of the girls. You have to kind of make your hay at Dretzka and then, you know, try to, you know, hold, you know, steady ground at Brown, Deer. Traditionally, Brown, Deer is the harder of the two courses. However, Dretzka has proven to be every bit the challenge for the young kids as Brown, Deer, which I find somewhat interesting, but I suppose you can make any course play hard.
Yeah, Dretzka can be a very, very tough track, and they're both great courses, Rob. You're going to be out there, you're going to be out there both days, and then are you jumping into a sport coat on Thursday night for the Hall of Fame meeting? Is that your plan?
I am. Did you have spies at Kohl's say to see me buy my dress? Rob Jansen has no idea how painful this process of getting dressed up for something is, at least for me. You're a veteran of the banquet circuit, but I'll be lucky to get the eggs off the sport coat before I show up at Blue Mountain.
That's great stuff, Rob. Yeah, I can't wait to see you in a sport coat and tie. That's gonna look. I'm gonna take pictures that night.
Yeah. You might want to. If I were a sportscaster like our friend Jocko, I'd definitely be the guy who wore only from the top up, and it would be cargo shorts on the bottom. So
there you go.
a lot on our plate, Gary. Appreciate your time here at Talking.Golf, and we'll figure out a time in the sometime next weekend. I don't even want to look forward to that. That's going to be, I mean, after I'm done with that, I've got stuff, my wife's flying in, and then we've got other stuff on the calendar. Well, we'll find a time because we got to talk about all the stuff we just talked about, because it's going to be one of the most exciting weeks of golf because it is one of the most, one of the longest, and it's going to be fun. So appreciate the time.
All right, Rob. Thank you.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. You have been listening to Talking.Golf, and we are sponsored by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Wisconsin's stop on the PGA Tour Champions wrapped up its 2022 run with another thrilling championship at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. So mark your calendars for 2023. It's June 9th through the 11th when the tournament returns to the calendar with another full week of activities. Information on the AmFam Championship can be found at amfamchampionship.com. Since 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised more than $12.6 million for local charities distributed through the Steve Stricker American Family Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.